we're dealing with radical Shia clerics. Okay, we're dealing with people who make political, geopolitical decisions on the basis of pure theology, and it's a complicated thing. I mean, no one's ever been able to do a successful deal with Iran, but we're going to try. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner will be traveling. I think they're traveling right now to have important meetings, and we'll see how that turns out. And we'll always comply with the applicable laws of the United States in terms of involving Congress in any decisions. But right now, we're not talking about any of that. We are postured in the region for one simple reason, and that is that we understand that there could be threats to our forces in the region. We've seen them be threatened in the past, and we want to make sure that we have sufficient capacity to defend them if, God forbid, that were to happen. We'll follow whatever the law is on it. And it depends on the circumstance that lead to it. But right now, we're talking about negotiations. We are focused on negotiations. That's what we're for. The president's made that clear. If that changes, it'll be obvious to everyone. And obviously, whatever the law requires us to do, we'll do.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, February the 16th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, releasing a list of names, notable names, famous names, political figures, celebrities that have appeared at least once in the Epstein files. And she released this list along with a letter to Congress, or this list accompanied a letter to Congress claiming that the Department of Justice has now released the Epstein files. It's done its part and released the Epstein documents, and it has shown full transparency and compliance with the law. And we got this list of notable, famous names included in the letter that she sent to Congress. And we're talking about names such as Janis Joplin appearing in this list that Pam Bondi sent. Names like Elvis Presley, no joke. No joke, she could have easily, the Department of Justice could have easily removed names like Elvis Presley in this letter. They could have easily separated from all the list of notable names the people that they believed were possible co-conspirators, for example. They could have released the list of the clients, possible clients, alleged clients, accomplices. They didn't need to include the names of celebrities that were mentioned one time in the documents that passed away before Epstein was even born, or when Epstein was a teenager or something like that, Elvis Presley or Janis Joplin. Everyone knows what Pam Bondi's trying to do here. Everyone understands that she was trying to muddy the waters, that she is trying to muddy the waters by including all of these people in the list amongst the clients and possible co-conspirators and accomplices and all of these people, by including the names of Elvis Presley and Janis Joplin and other names as well, all kinds of other names in there, that she's just trying to confuse and muddy things up. The interesting part about all of this is did the DOJ actually believe that this was going to work? Did they actually believe that she was going to release this list of all of these names, and everyone was going to just say okay, and now you're fully transparent. You've shown us the list of all the names of famous people, of politicians mentioned in the Epstein documents, so we're all good. Let's move on. Is that what she actually thought was going to happen? All this does is make people even more angry and more suspicious about this entire thing and why the Trump administration and the Trump DOJ is trying so hard to cover things up. And they're doing it in such a pathetic, blatant, in-your-face manner. There is not one analyst, left, right, center, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, there's no one that I've seen that has actually looked at this letter that she sent to Congress with these names in it and has said, okay, now she's being completely transparent. Good on Pam Bondi. She's being transparent. Epstein is over now. We've got all the names of all the people that were mentioned in the documents. We're all good. Everyone is saying that she's trying to muddy the waters. Everyone is saying that she deliberately included all of these names of people like Presley so that she could confuse things and protect the names in this letter that were possibly Epstein's clients or were possibly co-conspirators in all of this. Jumbling and mixing up all of the names. Everyone understands what she's doing. Everyone freaking understands what she's doing. Why did they do this then? Was there not anyone in the Department of Justice to say, you know, if we release the list of names in this way and include these people that have famous celebrities that passed away before Epstein was ever around, people are going to understand what we're trying to do and it's going to look silly and stupid and backfire on us? Was there not anyone in the DOJ to say this? Anyway, that's what we got, everybody. What an incompetent mess Trump's DOJ is. So, Rubio, from the DOJ to the Department of State, Rubio was in Slovakia, met with Fico, and then he traveled to Hungary to meet with Orban. Interesting that after the Munich Security Conference, the Secretary of State decides that the countries he is going to visit while he is in Europe are Orban, are Hungary, and Fico, Slovakia, the two countries that the EU cool kids globalist elite absolutely despise. The two countries that are pushing back against the globalist drive for escalation in Ukraine, for a conflict with Russia. The two countries that are pushing back against an EU fast track for Project Ukraine. These are the two countries, the two leaders that Rubio decides to visit and to meet. So Fico, in his speech, as he was speaking to the media, he said that the whole sanctions thing is ridiculous, and he's right. How many sanctions are we going to place on Russia? We're on number 20, or we're about to approve number 20. How many are we going to place? 150? What are we doing? We should be, according to Fico, we as Europe, should be trying to put forward 20 peace proposals, 100 peace proposals, not 20 or 100 sanctions packages. So that was a good statement from Fico. They talked about how the EU is trying to cut off Slovakia's energy and Slovakia's access to oil. The same was talked about with Orban as well. I believe that Rubio and Orban signed a nuclear energy agreement. So I think they signed various energy agreements while Rubio was in Hungary. And that was Rubio, his visit to these two countries. Robert Fico tells Marco Rubio that Ursula uses the Druzhba pipeline as political blackmail. The pipeline is used to pressure Hungary and Slovakia to accept Ukraine's membership into the EU. What else? What else was said? Fico, 20th sanctions package is being prepared now. How many sanctions packages are needed to stop the advance of the Russian army? 100 of them? 150? Yeah, Fico really went off on the EU. He really went off. He didn't say anything that was not true. He was absolutely correct about what he said. Rubio was asked about the whole Navalny thing and the frog, dart frog, Ecuador poison. He was asked about that. The UK, Sweden, Netherlands, France, and Germany, their investigation into Navalny, frog, dart poisoning. And Rubio's answer was a no answer. His answer was a no answer. The U.S., he said, does not dispute the Navalny poisoning assessment. We obviously are aware of the report. It's a troubling report. We're aware of the case of Mr. Navalny, and certainly we don't have any reason to question it, Rubio told reporters at a news conference in Bratislava during a visit to Slovakia. This is according to Reuters. Yeah, so Rubio basically saying, look, we're not going to dispute what these five allies have come up with, but he is not. He's putting a lot of distance between the United States and this report, because Rubio made it a point to say that the United States was not involved in any of this. He said that these countries have their own intel agencies, they're sovereign countries. They decided to come up with this this finding, to conduct this investigation and come up with this result. We're not going to go against what they're saying, but we had no part in this. That was what Rubio said. It's important to point out that in 2024, there were reports that Navalny was going to be part of a prisoner exchange with the collective West, with the United States, I believe. Even Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, whatever its name is, had an article with the title, White House Confirms That Navalny Was Part of Prisoner Exchange Talks. So he was going to be part of a prisoner exchange. But then Russia decided, you know what, better to poison him with Ecuador frog dart toxins. That doesn't make any sense, man, at all. Anyway, the UK is going to place sanctions now on Russia because of this whole Navalny thing. Go figure. Bad news for Russia. The UK is going to put sanctions on Russia. I'm sure that the Kremlin is very concerned about those UK sanctions over Navalny. Starmer is trying everything in his power to try and distract away from his Epstein problems. If you're trying to distract away from your Epstein problems, you have to go with Russia. But what can you go with? How about Navalny? How about we go with that one? How about we go with frog poison? Maybe that will distract away from my Epstein woes. Interesting. I have no idea what that is. Hillary Clinton confirmed that Yulia Navalny was at the Munich Security Conference. I had my doubts yesterday. I wasn't sure that she was at the Munich Security Conference. Yolanda, as Joe Biden calls her, Yolanda Navalny. But Hillary Clinton posted on X that she was on a panel with Yolanda. And the conversation was Ukraine, of course. This is according to Hillary Clinton, a key topic at the Munich Security Conference this weekend, Ukraine. I joined Yolanda for a conversation with Aslan TV about where the conflict stands. I believe the attempt to force Ukraine to agree to capitulate, to a capitulation agreement with Putin is a disgrace. Okay, whatever you say, Hillary. What difference does it make, Hillary Clinton? Whatever you say, Hillary Clinton. One time Secretary of State under Obama, trying to talk up escalation with Russia. Not a fan of Putin, that Hillary Clinton. That should tell you a lot. Hillary Clinton dislikes Russia and Russian President Vladimir Putin. That should tell you a lot. So Klitschko, he gave an interview to the Financial Times, and Klitschko is saying that he's unsure if Ukraine is going to make it through all of this, through this conflict with Russia. Kiev on the brink of catastrophe. Ukraine's future is uncertain amid massive blockouts, with Vladimir Zelensky's actions complicating the situation, Klitschko has said. In an interview with the FT published on Sunday, Klitschko said the question of the future of our country, whether we will survive as an independent country or not, is still open. I believe Klitschko put it at 50-50. When he means if Ukraine is going to survive, he means if Ukraine is going to, as an independent country, that's what Klitschko said, he means if Ukraine is going to continue to be this battering ram that's used against Russia. That's what he's getting at. He's not sure if this battering ram that is being used against Russia will survive. Zelensky, by the way, he decided to bash Orban again. Yesterday I talked about how Zelensky mocked Orban's appearance, Orban's weight. And I also talked about an award that Zelensky received from Donald Tusk. During his speech at this awards ceremony, I don't even know what the award was about. Let's see, the award was to honor Zelensky. The Munich gathering honored Zelensky with its annual award for outstanding contributions to peace on Saturday, accepting the Edward von Keist Prize. The Ukrainian leader thanked the European sponsors for bankrolling Kiev's war effort, especially the biggest donors, Germany and the UK. A prize for peace given to Zelensky in Munich. They love to give each other awards, huh? They love to give each other awards. Here's your Peace Prize award, Podolyak. Good Peace Prize award. I like this Peace Prize award. And he thanked Germany, of course. He thanked Germany and the UK for providing him with all the money. Thank you, Germany. Thank you, UK, for continuing to give me money. We are very thankful that we have such partners and friends, he said before going after the Hungarian prime minister. And I even want to thank Viktor. You all know what I mean, because in his own way, he pushes all of us to be better, Zelensky said. Better so that we are never like him. Someone who seems to have forgotten the word shame. Yeah, he doesn't like Viktor. Viktor doesn't give him money. Viktor is not giving the Green Goblin money, but the UK and Germany are giving him money, and he's thankful for that. Pushing all of Europe to do better. Viktor pushes all of Europe to unite and to provide him with money. So there you go, Viktor Orban. So what should we talk about next? How about the two articles published at the same time by a German military official and by a UK military official. And these two articles are making the moral case for rearmament. They are making the case to European citizens that rearming Europe and preparing Europe for a conflict with Russia is a moral one. It is morally correct to go to war with Russia, or at least morally correct to pour more money into the military-industrial complex, into weapons, and into Project Ukraine for a potential conflict with Russia, to prepare for a possible conflict with Russia, a possible Russian invasion of Europe. Whenever they say a Russian invasion of Europe, we have to reverse that. They're talking about a European conflict, provoked conflict with Russia, but they like to say a Russian invasion of Europe, but they actually mean the reverse. Anyway, British and German military chiefs are pressing for a moral case for rearmament, according to The Guardian. Air Chief Marshal Richard Knighton, the UK's Chief of the Defence Staff, and General Karsten Brewer, Germany's Chief of Defense, said Russia's military stance had shifted decisively westward and a step change was needed in Europe's defense and security. In a joint article published in The Guardian and the German newspaper Die Welt in the wake of the Munich Security Conference, the soldiers said they had a duty to explain what is at stake so that the public could understand why the UK and Germany have committed to the biggest sustained increases in defense spending since the end of the Cold War. There is a moral dimension to this endeavor. Rearmament is not warmongering. It is the responsible action of nations determined to protect their people and preserve peace, they write. There is significant reluctance among voters in Britain and Germany to accept economic pain in return for rearmament, even while majorities in both countries believe the outbreak of a third world war is more likely than not in the next 5 years. Got that? You got that, everybody? It's time for the people of Germany and the UK to go through economic pain, to accept economic pain. Accept economic pain in order to rearm. That's the argument that they're making. It's not warmongering. This is not warmongering. It is the responsible action of nations to protect their people and to preserve peace. So the people of Germany and of the UK, it is time for you to make sacrifices. That's the message. Make sacrifices in the budget, in both countries' respective budgets. Money that could or would usually go to various social services, pensions, healthcare, whatever. We're going to have to cut down on these programs in order to build up the military. That's the argument. You've already, people of Germany and the UK already have provided hundreds of billions to the Green Goblin. Wasn't enough. Now we're asking you to sacrifice more. The problem that they have, which this article outlines, is that the people of Germany and the UK, at least for the time being, don't want to sacrifice more, and they don't want to go fight Russia. But the globalists, they're going to try to figure out a way to reverse this this trend of people not wanting to go to war with Russia. They're going to try and convince the people to sacrifice more, to give up more of their hard-earned money to the Zelensky regime, to the military, and to want to go to war with Russia. The UK is putting out all kinds of propaganda about Russia losing. You see, if they say that Russia is losing, then maybe, just maybe, they will convince the young men and the young women in Britain to eventually go fight Russia, because Russia's military is weak. This is the propaganda that they're trying to put out. And they put out a figure, the UK Ministry, oh no, British Intelligence. I was going to say the Ministry of Defense, but it looks like this was British Intelligence. They put out a figure claiming that Ukrainians kill 27 Russians for every soldier lost. A 27-to-1 ratio is what they're claiming. You got to figure out a way to convince the people of Britain that Russia is losing, and therefore it would be beneficial to not only give up your hard-earned money to Project Ukraine and to the globalist military machine, but it will also be beneficial sometime in the future, 2 to 3 years in the future, to go off to war with Russia. That's the trick that they are trying to play on everyone. And so they come up with this figure of 27-to-1. Where do they get this number? They made it up. That's where they got this number. It's made up, of course, 27-to-1. It's all made up. If the figure is 27-to-1, then why all the panic? If the figure is 27-to-1, then why do you need UK soldiers to eventually fight Russia? Just keep the war going, and 27-to-1 will surely collapse the Russian military in 6 months. No need to worry if the number is 27-to-1, right? We know the real ratios, and those are expressed in the exchange of soldiers, of bodies that has occurred over the past year, over 2025. 16-to-1, 21-to-1, 26-to-1, 78-to-1, 56-to-1, 42-to-1, 32-to-1, 33-to-1, and 39-to-1. And the one is Russia in this list. The number one is Russia. The bigger number is Ukraine casualties. And those numbers are not pulled out of the sky, out of thin air. Those are the actual numbers of bodies that have been exchanged over the year. And yes, I know the argument about Russia's advancing, so they're picking up more bodies than Ukraine is picking up. Well, that's also an admission that Russia is advancing. And if an army is advancing, then an army is not losing, right? Right. So anyway, you slice it or dice it, the whole narrative of 27-to-1 and Ukraine is winning and Russia is losing, the whole narrative is fiction. It's all made up. It all falls apart when you look at the real numbers. Anyway, that's the message coming out of UK intelligence. Meanwhile, you have Germany and Poland talking about getting nuclear weapons. Nawrocki, the president of Poland, is talking about Poland getting nukes. Pistorius, the defense minister of Germany, was asked about Germany getting nukes. And Pistorius noted that Germany is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they have committed to never acquiring nuclear weapons. But we will see. Maybe we somehow join the game after all. He means joining the nuclear weapons game. They just need to figure out a way, according to Pistorius, and Poland has the same issue. They need to figure out a way to get nukes while still remaining signatories committed to the non-proliferation treaty. Pistorius recognizes, and he said this in the interview when he was asked about nuclear weapons, he recognizes that the danger that if Germany, and the same holds true for Poland, if they do decide to get nukes, then all kinds of countries are going to just nuke up. He understands that. He said it's very dangerous for Germany to go nuclear because it's going to trigger all kinds of other countries to go nuclear. It will be the breakdown of the non-proliferation treaty. And even though he understands this and he recognizes this, you still have the German defense minister and you still have the president of Poland talking about getting nuclear weapons. If they go nuclear, then dozens of countries are going to go nuclear inside Europe and outside Europe. So that was Pistorius and Navrotsky, the ex-Ukrainian energy minister who was caught up in the Golden Toilet Mindich scandal, Yerman Galushchenko, the 100 million energy scandal with that Mindich guy who was Zelensky's best buddy. Whatever happened to all of that? Nothing. Nothing really happened. Mindich made his way to Israel. There hasn't been any other arrests. But this energy minister did try to leave Ukraine via train. And Nabuu, they put out an order that this energy minister is not allowed to leave Ukraine. He has not been arrested, but he is not allowed to leave Ukraine. So he tried to flee and he did not make it to Poland. I wonder how much money he has tucked away outside of Ukraine. All of these guys, not just this energy minister, all of them, when the collapse happens, when they get in trouble, when they start turning on each other, they're all going to try and leave the sinking ship, and they're all going to try to make their way westward to Europe because they've got all kinds of cash. My guess would be is that they have all kinds of cash tucked away in various locations throughout the collective West. That's just a guess. But he was returned back to Kiev. Not arrested, but not allowed to leave the country. And finally, before we get to our Clown World segment, we are getting reports which claim that during the meeting with Netanyahu, Trump told Netanyahu that the U.S. would support Israeli strikes on Iran's ballistic missile program. This is according to CBS News with people familiar with the matter. Two sources familiar with the matter. They claim that Trump has committed to supporting Israel if they do go through with a strike on Iran that is targeting their ballistic missiles program. We're not talking about uranium enrichment anymore. Forget about uranium enrichment. Forget about protecting the protesters. It's now all about Iran's ballistic missile program. And Netanyahu actually said in a statement that Iran, if there's going to be any deal with Iran, then Iran has to commit to no uranium enrichment, okay, but they also have to commit to not supporting their allies or their proxies in the region, but they also have to commit to no ballistic missiles, at least no ballistic missiles with a range over 300 kilometers, is what Netanyahu said. No ballistic missiles with a range that can reach Israel. No country in the world would ever agree to those terms. Not one single country on planet Earth would ever agree to such terms. But those are the terms that Netanyahu put out on the table, And according to CBS, Trump has committed to supporting Israel if and when it does decide to strike Iran. And we are getting reports that the defense ministry and the military in Israel are almost ready to strike. They've held various meetings, and they have a plan of attack, and we could be seeing some sort of operation in the following days or weeks. And if things go wrong, Trump is committed to helping. That's how you pull the United States into this. So let's do some clown worlds, or let's do one clown world, two clown worlds, but both clown worlds are focused on Estonia. What can I say? What can I say? Kaja Kallas is on a generational run. She is on a roll. But before we get to Kaja Kallas, let's talk about the current Estonian foreign minister, who said that if Russia invades Estonia, invades NATO, we will move the war to its territory, according to the diplomat. The statements that Estonia is one of the most vulnerable states in Europe are not true. We know exactly what to do. We are ready for a possible Russian invasion, and the level of deterrence is really high. So the foreign minister of Estonia says fake news whenever they say that Estonia is not ready or is weak should Russia invade. Not true, he said. We are more than ready to deal with a Russian invasion. A very high deterrence. They know exactly how to deal with Russia, and they will move the war. This is the best part. They will move the war into Russian territory. That's the statement from the foreign minister of Estonia. They really know how to pick their diplomats in Estonia. And that takes us to stunning and brave Kaja Kallas, who ended her speech at the Munich Security Conference. And this will be my last news report on the Munich Security Conference, thank God. And Kaja Kallas, she ended her speech yesterday by mentioning Marvel superheroes and comparing the Marvel superheroes to the EU. That is how she ended her keynote speech at Munich, her big speech at the MSC. She said, "To conclude, we hear the call to action. Europeans, assemble. And let me take more inspiration from the Marvel Universe. Heroes are made by the paths they choose, not the powers they are graced with. Europe's path is clear. Defend Europe, secure our neighborhood, and build our partnerships across the globe." So the big line here, the big Marvel comic book line, you see, she is reading a lot of books. Kallas said that she's reading a lot of books. She's reading a lot of comic books. But the big line that ended the Munich Security Conference was, "Heroes are made by the paths they choose and not the powers they are graced with."
To conclude, we hear the call to action. Europeans, assemble. And let me take more inspiration from the Marvel Universe. Heroes are made by the paths they choose, not the powers that they are graced with. Europe's path is clear. Defend Europe, secure our neighborhood, and build partnerships across the globe. Thank you.
That's a good way to end this video. At first, I thought when I read the title that Kaja Kallas was comparing Marvel superheroes to the EU, I was thinking that the quote she was going to go with was from Spider-Man, "With great power comes great responsibility." Isn't that the quote from Spider-Man, the famous Spidey quote, as his uncle was about to die. And he tells Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. I thought she was going to go with that one, but she decided not to. She decided to go with European leaders, assemble, assemble superheroes of Europe. And then she threw out the line of taking a path and whatever. I don't even remember what she said. I already forgot the quote. Not important. Heroes are made by the paths they choose, not the powers they are graced with. I already forgot the quote. Anyway, that's Kaia Kallas. That's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we're on Telegram. Go to the Duran Shop, pick up some merch, check us out on Substack, and like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. I figure that by 2030, I'll probably get to 230,000 subscribers at the rate that I'm going on YouTube. My God.